Welcome to the Life Hack Show. Life is full of limitations. Learn how to break free and live your best life. Join me, Allie Kramer, Content Director of Life Hack, as I interview the top experts in the self-improvement sphere for advice on how to make life more enjoyable, no matter who you are. If you're looking for insight on how to overcome any obstacle, this podcast is made for you. Today, I'll be speaking with Eric Travis. He's the author of the new audiobook, Wander Purposefully, a reflection on how to love learning. In this book, he introduces the listener to absorbent learning, a practical lifestyle that encourages and inspires learning for the sake of learning. This audiobook is framed within the context of Eric's journey hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. Hi, Eric. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Allie. Good to be here.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. So let's start by giving the audience a bit of background on yourself. You decided to take a 56-day and 2,600-mile hike, which resulted in your book, Wander Purposefully. This is so cool to me. How did you come about deciding to take such a journey?
It was actually 156 days.
Oh, wow. I had a big typo on the the book.
That's okay. Amazing. That's wow. Totally okay. That's totally fine.
That's like half a year. You know, like
a little more than 5 months. Yeah. So the whole impetus to start this journey probably goes back to my childhood when I started, like, as a fluke to learn in this unique way outside of school that I started to notice was benefiting my life. Again and again and again. As I got into college, I just saw it everywhere I looked. And so I decided to try and make a business out of it. Mm-hmm. And the business was to help people learn in this unique way. It's called absorbent learning, and we'll go more into it.
Sure. And so this is kind of based on the idea of audiobooks. Is that correct?
So there's a few different types of absorbent learning.
Okay.
But the first type of absorbent learning is what I call auditory absorbent learning. Mm-hmm. And so what that is basically it's what we're doing right now, what your listeners are doing right now. You're listening with the intent to learn from a podcast or an audiobook. And so when I had this business idea, I quickly found out that I didn't know what I was doing, and then I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
So the best way for me to go forward with the business idea was to get my MBA, and what I really wanted to supplement the MBA with a lot of auditory knowledge with business books. I wanted to listen to business audiobooks. I do my best thinking when I'm walking. This is just something that I noticed about myself. And I thought that before I even started the MBA, I was planning my Pacific Crest Trail hike with the sole, you know, intention of listening to audiobooks in order to help myself learn about business. And the reason why I wanted to do audiobooks more than physical books is that I personally can't really focus on a physical book, especially if it's nonfiction. I just find myself rereading the same paragraph over and over again.
Gotcha.
But for me, I can really pay attention to an audiobook. So that's the reason why I started the PCT.
Gotcha. So did you like start off thinking, okay, 156 days, or did it kind of turn into that for you? Was it a shorter time period that you had allotted for this hike?
So the trail starts on the California-Mexico border, mm-hmm. and it goes all the way through California, huge state, and then through Oregon and through Washington, until you hit the Canadian-Washington border up north there.
Yeah, that's an incredible distance.
Yeah, so I didn't know how long, like, I didn't know how long it would take.
You just knew you wanted to get from point A to point B. Okay, cool, very cool. And that was your goal, and you set off that, and then you were thinking, okay, in the meantime, I'm going to supplement my learning by listening to all these audiobooks on how to improve business.
Yeah, so I'm not really an outdoorsy guy.
Really?
In general. No, you might think so, but
yeah, definitely did.
I did it because I was really, really inspired about this idea, and I did it with one of my friends, who is outdoorsy. He's like a mountain man.
So he was kind of like your spirit guide through the whole.
He was my spirit guide. I was born in Orange County, California, which is just a big city. conjoined with Los Angeles, basically. So yeah, I was a city boy and I decided to really jump outside my comfort zone to do something like this.
Yeah, I'd say that a lot of times when you make progress and growth in your life, you definitely have to step outside your comfort zone to do so. Do you like hiking now? Have you found a love of it?
Well, it's been about 11 months since I finished, and I haven't hiked since.
Well, your muscles are probably still recovering.
I'm officially sick of hiking, and I lost 60 pounds on the hike.
Wow.
I gained 40 back, so that was an unsustainable amount of exercise.
I can imagine. So aside from obviously the fact that you weren't outdoorsy or anything, what other type of obstacles did you come across during this time? Anything that helped you grow and understand yourself better?
The hardest parts were, well, mentally, there's always the part where you're like, what the hell am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you really have, you need to do something like this. You need to have a reason to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, you'll just be out there and be like, gosh, I don't want to walk anymore. Why am I doing this? So for me, audiobooks really provided that foundation of mental stability. But physically, the hardest parts were when I got sick, when I got a stomach virus or something, and I was days away from town and I had to walk with little to no appetite, little to no energy.
Oh, that sounds awful.
All the way into a town. And the other physical challenges were, you know, you have just nagging injuries. I would constantly stub my toes. And finally, the big toe on my right foot was just, I needed to splint it in order to even walk at all.
Wow.
The splint worked pretty well.
did you construct this splint on your own? Was it kind of like a makeshift?
Yeah. I don't know if you know what KT tape is.
I think I've seen it like in CVS in the area there, but I might be hallucinating that thinking.
If you watch like NBA or volleyball players, they have it all over them.
It's just okay.
A strip that goes down one of their muscles, and that stuff is just magic.
Yeah. And so your goal of getting to basically Canada was the driving force that kept you going. Is that right?
I really, really, really wanted to make it to Canada. Yeah. I wanted to make it to the end. That was my hiking goal. And it just so happened that every single day I was listening to audiobooks, and I finished along the journey. I finished 71 different audiobooks.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know anything about audiobooks, but they average 12 and a half hours per audiobook, which is pretty long. And
wow.
Some of them were huge. The War and Peace was 61 hours. The Bible was 60 hours.
That's amazing. That's really, really cool, because I'm thinking about it, and all the time that we sit here, or say I just sit here and I'm zoning out and I'm doing nothing, if I had information kind of pouring into me at that time, I can't imagine what I would learn. Is this kind of the crux of what absorbent learning is? Can you explain for our listeners more about the term absorbent learning?
Definitely. So absorbent learning, I'll start by describing what it's not.
Okay,
so good. There's two types of learning in my mind. One of them is absorbent learning, and one is what I call active learning, and it's what you know as learning, basically. Mm-hmm. So when you go to school, when you do your homework, when you watch a documentary, when you read a physical book, active learning is when you specifically take time out of your day to do nothing but learn.
Gotcha.
So it's all those things. So absorbent learning is when you're doing something physically with your hands, but you have like a white space in terms of your mind. So absorbent learning is learning done in your white space. And so what I mean by white space is, you know, you're on your commute, you're physically using your hands to drive or walk or something. You're doing something physically, but your mind is not really, really participating, because, you know, these things, these actions that you're doing are kind of mindless. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I start driving and all of a sudden it's 20 minutes later and nothing happened for that 20 minutes. I just zoomed out.
Yeah, like, so, how did I get here? How did I even know to turn these ways? I didn't even think about this, but yet I'm at my destination. That's definitely occurred to me.
Yeah, exactly. And so those times in your day when you're doing that, your mind is like wandering aimlessly. Mm-hmm. Is what I call it. You're not really doing anything purposeful with your mind. So the name of my book is called Wander Purposefully. Mm-hmm. And what it's really about is to take those white spaces in your day, and instead of wandering aimlessly through them, you're wandering purposefully through them. And the purpose is to learn something that will serendipitously benefit you at some further point in your life.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So that's really interesting, because I'm thinking about my day in general and all the things that I do, whether it's walking to the market luckily I live in a big city. So, I can take advantage of the train, or I can take advantage of walking. I don't have to necessarily drive if I don't want to, but there's a ton of time where my brain can just be kind of going in any direction. And if I could focus it more on learning something while I'm utilizing that time, or to utilize that time that I'm, say, walking to the supermarket, you're saying that's the white space that we should kind of take advantage of.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of different types of white spaces. So there's three types of absorbent learning. The first is auditory absorbent learning, which we've already gone over a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's listening during your white space in your day, like your commute, like most people are listening to this podcast right now. Mm-hmm. So the second type of absorbent learning is what I call visual absorbent learning. And this is what happened to me when I was a kid. This is what started everything.
Oh. So
when I was a kid, I grew up with four older brothers. I was the youngest of five.
Oh, wow.
And we all lived in the same room. And I was predictably relegated to one of the bottom bunks in the bedroom. That we had bunk beds. And so, just as a fluke, my mom, she did this with me. She didn't do it with any of my other brothers. I have to believe, like, she didn't do that on purpose. She just did it just because for me.
Yeah.
What she did was she slapped up a poster of the periodic table of the elements on the underside of the bunk, right above my face. So when I was a kid, like 8 or 9 years old, I looked at this thing in a white space. You know, I have to be in my bed to go to sleep, right? I have to wake up and I'm in my bed. So I'm looking upwards, and that's another white space. Like when I was a kid, and then so through that, like, couple years that I was in that bed, 2 or 3 years, I memorized the whole thing. I memorized the periodic table of elements. I still know it today. And it's not so, as I got into college, I was like, I started benefiting from this left and right. I was like, so I'd go to like a trivia night or something. Mm-hmm. And elements would be a category or something with elements, and then I'd say what I knew, and then everyone was around me was like, how did you know that? And then at that point I felt smart, you know. I was like, nobody else knows this. Like I really
right.
Do.
I could probably name like 15 max on the table. Yeah.
I mean, if you want this podcast to be an hour long, I can go one by one through them. But it's not that I was smarter than everybody, and that's a big theme of this book. It's not that I'm smarter than anybody else. It's that I use my white space time in a way that nobody else does. It's a unique thing. So once I started to recognize it in college, I started intentionally engaging in visual absorbent learning. And so I looked at my life and I was like, what's another white space in my day? And I landed on my shower. So my shower, I'm doing my showerly procedure.
Right.
Hygiene. And at that point in my life, I was probably taking 2 showers a day, one in the morning, one after rugby practice. Mm-hmm. At Gonzaga. I went to college at Gonzaga University. Okay. In Washington, in Spokane. So I took that white space in my life, and I posted laminated posters in the shower. And I put an entire world map in there. I put 50
wow.
Okay, thank you in different languages. And I put like a list of the presidents and other things. And then now, after years of just being in my shower, not actually sitting down to do nothing but learn. Just, you know, while I'm doing something else in my life, I know every capital in the world that's on the map. I know how to say thank you to people.
That's incredible.
Pretty much everybody I meet anywhere.
So this is all kind of spawned by your mom's decision to stick that periodic table above your bed.
Yeah. I noticed these relational advantages that I have. Like, it's beneficial to seem smart to somebody, you know.
Sure.
In like in a relationship sense, a significant other sense, and like a, you know, a potential employee sense. It's relationally beneficial. And here's the best thing about this type of absorbent learning. Not only do you benefit yourself, like personal benefits, but the world is also benefited as well. And I'll explain that right now. Mm-hmm. But so let's just say in Seattle, I take a lot of Ubers, a lot of Uber ride shares.
Sure.
And a lot of Uber drivers in Seattle just happen to be Ethiopian.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get into their Uber, I tell them thank you in their language, which is Amharic, which is a language that nobody really outside of Ethiopia or Eritrea knows. And all of a sudden they will light up. They'll be like, how did you know that? That's so and all of a sudden this guy is, he's my friend, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah, you made a connection, a direct empathetic connection. Yeah, that's great.
Exactly. I made a connection by knowing one little thing about his culture. Mm-hmm. And it's such a small effort on my part because I use my white space to do it. And by doing so, like I showcase a genuine interest in this person's culture, where they grew up. And that, you know, when you do that to somebody, it just greases the wheels of friendship, you know?
Sure. It validates their existence, their identity, everything.
Yeah, and unfortunately that little effort is really not done a lot in America, and it's not even expected. Like it's such a surprise to them that I know one thing about their culture.
And, right.
I think a lot of the problems in this world are based on like disrespect,
uh-huh.
and you know, just not knowing anything really, and not really caring is the problem.
Right.
And
right.
That brings me to the third type of absorbent learning, which is experiential absorbent learning. And what that is going out of your comfort zone and realizing that no matter where you grew up, if you grew up in Philly, if you grew up in Orange County, if you grew up anywhere, that the immediate surroundings of where you grew up is so, so, so narrow of a point of view.
Right.
And in order to, you know, transcend beyond that point of view, it means you need to leave. You need to exit your comfort zone. You need to go somewhere else. And at that point, you can then begin to be empathetic towards other points of view, because you can't be empathetic to another point of view if you don't know what that point of view even consists of.
Right, if it even exists. It's like, how do you even imagine what someone else is going through if you're not even aware that they're there?
Yeah, exactly. And experiential absorbent learning is basically like it. So you can learn as much as you want through active learning. Active learning is awesome, but you need time and everything to do active mm-hmm. learning. Absorbent learning through your auditory and visual absorbent learning, you can learn as much as you want, but you can still, after you learn, you can still apply that learning in ways that are, you know, unempathetic to a lot of people. And that it can be the application of that is wrong. And so experiential absorbent learning is basically quality control for all your other learnings, so that you can apply it in ways that are ethical and, you know, take other people's points of view into factor.
Yeah, this is all so fascinating to me, because it's like I'm just looking around my studio right now and I'm thinking, oh, there's so much literal white space on my wall that I could, you know, supplement with inspirational messages, or even when I'm thinking about my own children's rooms and what they do, or flashing back to when I was a kid and I would spend hours just looking at the ceiling, looking up, you know, looking at patterns on my ceiling and trying to, you know, utilize my imagination. But yet you found kind of this trick that kind of took advantage of your mental space in a way that I think you've hit a really valid point. If we all were doing this, how much more we would know, how much more we would be exposed to. And it's almost like, I don't want to say it's a quick fix or anything, but it's certainly a great way to kind of enhance your learning ability with something that would otherwise be completely wasted.
Yeah, totally. And there's a couple problems with active learning that absorbent learning solves. Mm-hmm. So active learning is amazing, but first you need the time, you need the motivation, and you need the resources to do it. Like if I want to read a book about anything, I will need, you know, the hours of time to do nothing but read that book. Mm-hmm. I'll need to have the motivation to sit down. Oh man, I'm tired. I can't read right now.
Right. I'd rather watch Netflix.
All the time. Mm-hmm. And you need the book to begin with, which a lot of people don't have the opportunity. And the second reason that active learning is bad, well, not bad, but like it just becomes useless in the long run. Like, so for example, I was an engineer in college and I took a bunch of calculus classes and I passed all the calculus classes. And then now, you know, 4 years later, 5 years later, I know zero calculus. I can't do a single thing. I couldn't get a 2% on a calculus.
Isn't that crazy? It's like, I have a fifth grader and I'm helping her with her math homework. And I'm like, you know, I was a straight A student. I was on honors committees and everything. I can't do fifth grade math, Eric. And this is so like, it's like, no. What is this? What is the point? You know?
Me neither. Then here's the problem. It's because your incentive to learn that stuff was a test, and that's not your fault. You know, mm-hmm. It's not your fault that your incentive was to do well on an SAT, and mm-hmm. once you take the SAT, you don't need to know that stuff anymore. So what absorbent learning does is it takes the test out of it. You do it every single day, and it's burned into your memory, and the tests, they occur naturally throughout your life in your conversations, in your interactions with people.
Yeah, like a reward right away, you know, like, they get it, why I know the periodic table or something, rather than like a good score on a test, you're getting, you know, feedback externally from people that you respect and care about and potentially want to interact with.
Exactly. Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a big problem that we're, myself included, we're very, very motivated by these things that are superficial in my mind. That A on that test means you have a high GPA. Right. That high GPA means you can get into a good college. That good college means you can get a good job. But how did you get that high grade in the first place? You crammed for it and then you forgot everything right afterwards.
Yeah. And how do you feel, you know, 10 years down the road when you're kind of quantifying everything in your life and you're like, okay, great. I did good in calculus, but now I don't know anything and I feel stuck in my career. And it sounds like you have a solution. I'm just picturing your house, like all the walls posted with all kinds of wonderful things. Is that what's going on there?
My shower has 10 different posters. So I have this website, wewanderpurposefully.com. And it's wander purposefully, but you put we in front of it. So it's kind of a collective. We all should, if you're on this website, you wander purposefully as well, type of thing.
Yeah.
But on the website, I've taken the last 6 months to design, visual absorbent learning things.
Gotcha. So,
and I sell them there. And if you really want to learn more about this, get the audiobook. It's like we're scratching the surface right now, but this is like a half, this is what, a 40 minute podcast or something. The audiobook is 9 hours.
Awesome. So just kind of give our listeners a little bit of a taste of what else they can find within your book, your audiobook, Wander Purposefully, A Reflection on How to Love Learning.
Yeah. So there's, the first hour is an introduction that goes through all of the reasons why absorbent learning is a good thing to do, which we've touched on now. And then the section one is auditory absorbent learning, which goes through my process of auditory absorbent learning on the trail, why I started it, how I did it exactly, and why audiobooks are a good thing to do in general. And the second section two is visual absorbent learning, which we just talked about. And section three is experiential absorbent learning, which we also just talked about. And section four is my favorite part of the book. It wraps everything up into this lifestyle and the absorbent learning lifestyle and why it's good and why you should do it and why everyone else should do it and why you should get everyone else to do it.
Very nice.
And then there's a conclusion, which is intended to be very inspirational. And the last 2 hours of the book are actually a play by, it's my trail diary from the Pacific Crest Trail. If you're interested in that, that's the appendix at the end. So after the whole book. So
it's a
self-help book. It's a self-development book, first and foremost. I did this trail and I thought I thought it was an amazing experience, but I didn't want to write a memoir.
Right.
I thought that has been done before, and I really had much more to offer the listener than to recount an experience of my own.
Sure. And it sounds like so many people in so many different areas in life, so many different places in their life, so many different age groups, experiences can all benefit from this idea of absorbent learning.
Yeah. So when I was in my MBA program, I was working on this idea, and the idea was based around visual absorbent learning. And I was repeatedly tasked to find the target market for my business. Wait, how do I narrow this down? Like I neglect parents who could use it for their children. Mm-hmm. I neglect parents that can use it for themselves. I neglect people in my own age group that would very much benefit from like employment opportunities from this, or like finding a significant other. Mm-hmm. I was like, how do I narrow this down? And it wasn't until I was at the end of my trail. Well, as I was going through my trail, about the middle point, I realized, wow, this is not a business idea. This is a book idea.
Because
this isn't just a product. It's more than a product. It's a concept.
Yeah, it's like a lifestyle choice.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I realized that this is more than a product. It's a lifestyle. And, you know, when you're trying to pitch a product to somebody that's, you know, a potential customer, that customer has probably a 5 to 10 second attention span. Once they realize they're being sold to, they're just like, oh, no, that's all right.
Sure.
So this concept requires more than 10 seconds. It's at least 5 minutes, and this book is 9 hours. But that's the impetus behind the audiobook in itself. But I realized at the end of the trail that my target market is not a specific demographic. It's those who love to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And those who love to learn come from all walks of life, all religions, all everything. And anybody who loves to learn will benefit from this book.
That sounds fantastic. And I would kind of like go further to think about, you know, I with my time working at Lifehack, I've kind of been drilled into this idea of lifelong learning. And for me, I equate learning with living. And, you know, it's like, even if you don't think you love to learn, there's a good chance that you do, and you just haven't found the right way to do it. So maybe absorbent learning is for you, you know? maybe active learning is what turned you off from this idea of learning, but this could be something that could really get people excited about learning in a new, not even a new, but in kind of an obvious way, but that I've never seen really applied before. So yeah,
everyone does this every day. People are introduced to visual observant learning in their classrooms when they're kids, like the ABCs on the walls.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's kind of ironic because it distracts you during the time when you should be active learning.
Right.
You know? And then once you get home, nobody does it anymore. And right. People who actually put up stuff, put it like on the side in their room, and you don't really ever even look at it. So you have to put it somewhere that you can't avoid it. And the shower is a great way, a great place. If you have a bunk bed right above your face, that's a great place.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's a bunch of other white spaces that I go over in the book. So
awesome. So, okay, right before we jump off of this episode, let our listeners know where they can purchase your audiobook, Wander Purposefully.
So you can go on Amazon, search Wander Purposefully, and it's on Audible as well. And Audible, I used Audible for all 71 of my audiobooks on the PCT. It's an amazing, amazing app. It's so easy to use, and you can take great notes on anything during your listening. And you can also find it on iTunes as well.
Okay, excellent. That's so great. So again, check out this audiobook. Some amazing stuff here. I'm already convinced that I want to start adding more audiobooks to my life and plaster my bathroom walls with really cool stuff that will impress all my friends and my husband and my kids. And don't forget to visit Eric's site, wewanderpurposefully.com. That's wewanderpurposefully.com. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today, Eric. This has been a really cool discussion. I love your approach to learning, and I can tell the energy there is something that I think that you've been into for a really long time. And I'm hoping that it inspires a lot of our listeners today to start thinking about learning in a different way.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having me on, Allison.
Absolutely.
This was great.
Awesome. Great. All right. So that wraps up today's show. Thank you all for joining, and stay tuned for our next episode of the Life Hack Show.